Welcome to another episode of Open Doors, Conversations with Heart of the Father. I'm your host, Jacqueline Harper. Open Doors is a conversation about inviting God's love, presence, and power into our hearts. We are friends and teammates from Heart of the Father Ministries who share in the mission of setting captive hearts free through Unbound Ministry. We're so glad you could join us. Well, welcome everyone to our Open Doors podcast here in this beautiful season of Lent. We are about 2 weeks away from Holy Thursday, I think, and we've had some fun taking time to really reflect on the Lenten Gospel readings. Today, we have a special friend, Anne Stevens, here with us, who you all have heard if you've listened to some of our other podcasts, but Anne is a wonderful friend. She has been around Unbound since before the book was published. She's part of the inspiration behind it and teaches at our Freedom in Christ conference. If you want to go check that out, I can link that in the show notes. She teaches our basic and advanced courses, and actually she has been teaching in various modalities and places for over 30 years with kids and adults. But one of the things I love about Anne is that she was a religious studies major at Villanova, and she loves the Word of God. We are laughing that she's a Bible geek and a word nerd.
Word girl!
So today you're going to just be blessed by Anne's insight into the story of the man born blind who Jesus heals. We're going to be reading the Gospel of John chapter 9, verses 1 to 41. But I just want to do a quick look back. Last week, we heard about the woman at the well. And before that, we heard about Jesus on the mountain, the transfiguration. Both of those gospels so obviously reveal to us something new about Jesus. So the question I have and we have for you as you listen to the Word of God and listen to Anne and I reflect on the gospel reading together, what does this story, what do these gospels reveal about Jesus, and how do people respond to him? What's the invitation, how to respond to him today? So think about that as you listen. So I'm just going to invite Anne to start us off.
John chapter 9, verses 1 to 41.
As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said.
They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That is why his parents said, "He's of age, ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple? We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes? We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out.
Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains."
We just heard this beautiful story, this powerful story, this very complicated story, if you get down to it, about this man being healed who was born blind. So, Anne.
Well, let me start by saying that when you gave me this scripture, told me about, you know, invited me on the podcast and gave me this scripture, I looked at it, I was like, holy cow, we could just do a whole series on this. There's so much here. How am I ever going to find anything to talk about for just a couple minutes? But, you know, God is faithful and he really highlighted something for me. So the first thing I want to look at is, I really am a word nerd. And as I was reading the scripture, I was struck by how many times the word see and blindness are used in there. That's pretty obvious, but I was very struck by it. So I started to do a little of my digging that I usually do. And I found a few interesting things. One is that, you know, the Gospel of John uses the word blind or blindness 16 times. And in verses 9 to 41, it appears 13 of those 16 times. Wow. So I feel like the Lord is saying, highlighting that, you know, sit up and look. I have something to say about blindness and also about sight. There are at least 10 verbs that Greek uses for see. Mm-hmm. John uses 3 of them, and 2 of them show up in this section of the gospel. And one of those words shows up 7 times out of the 15 that it's used in the gospel.
Wow. Like,
so there's just obviously a lot here about sight and blindness. So I started to dig a little deeper, because when we read in English, we read the verb, he saw, he sees, he got his sight, he's seen. But there are different words in the Greek for that. And this was the most moving thing to me. The word that Jesus uses for himself seeing the blind man is different from all the other words used, almost all the other words. It's used once again by Jesus at the end of the gospel. And it's so powerful. So the word that Jesus uses, as he went along, he saw a blind man from birth, or a man blind from birth. He hora'od him. Hora'o is the word. And the other word that's used through the rest of the scripture until the end is blepo. I'm not saying that right. I'm not a Greek scholar. But
that's all
blepo.
Right.
I kind of like that word, blepo. Right? Just crack myself up there. But that, the word blepo, is just very basic. It's just that physical act of seeing. You can just use your eyes and blepo something, right? But the horao is different. It means to see with the mind and to grasp the truth of something, to grasp the truth of an observation. So Jesus is walking by and he grasps the truth of this man, grasps the truth of who he is, of his situation. And I found that that contrasted with even how the disciples saw him, right? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't, there's no word for the disciples seeing him, but immediately what do the disciples do? They see the man born blind, but they don't see his situation. They don't observe him. They say, oh, who sinned, him or his parents, right? So they are stuck in their cultural understanding at the time of sin, right? So I know people know this, but just to remind us, in Jewish understanding, especially at that time, sin was directly related to illness and your physical well-being. So if you were poor or sick or diseased, you were sinful. Mm-hmm. If you were wealthy and healthy, right, and had resources, then you were blessed, right? Because they tied it to that righteousness. If you followed the law, then you would be blessed. Mm-hmm. If you did what God said, you're not going to get sick, right? So that is their understanding. Now, of course, God had, over the course of salvation history, been trying to upend this, right? There's hints that this is not quite the case, right? In Isaiah, the suffering servant, and in Job, of course, right? But still, at the time, this is still their cultural understanding. And Jesus is just going to turn this completely upside down.
Well, I'm so struck by the words, the two different words, which I'm not going to even say, but just, I love, Anne, that you pointed out that Jesus stopped and he saw him. Mm-hmm. And just that it wasn't just the way everyone else who had passed by had seen him. Mm-hmm. He saw him and he knew him and he saw the depth of his need.
Right.
And that was, that's just so powerful. And I also just am thinking about what you said about the disciples, like their first response, don't we do that when we have our own suffering in our life? Like, oh, why does this happen and how can we fix it? Because if we know what, where I went wrong, oh, my kid's a mess, so what did I do wrong as a parent? Or, oh, that family over there. You know, like it's
so human. What did they do wrong that they're having this consequence?
Yeah. So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, so the disciples see and they speak out of this limited understanding, this cultural understanding, and Jesus is going to totally upend that. And he does that in the next passage, like in the next paragraph, right? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be, and then there's the word displayed. And it's this, again, a Greek word that I don't know how to say, like phanero, I don't know. But so the works of God are going to be displayed through this man. And that word means to make visible or known, to make what is hidden become known. So Jesus is going to take this one that is blind, who is rejected, who is considered sinful, and he's going to take this one and reveal, make known who God is, who the living God is through this one. That no one would expect. Everyone expects this one has been rejected by God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is saying, no, I'm going to take this blind one that you've rejected, who people don't see and who doesn't see, and I'm going to make him the vehicle of revelation of who I am.
So seen and known go hand in hand.
Absolutely. And we're going to, by the end of this, we're going to know who this man is and we're going to know who Jesus is through it.
So good.
So much. Yeah, so good. And I just want to highlight one more time that word horao is used. It's so significant because we have all this blepo going on, right? Just people seeing the surface, seeing the outer details, but not grasping or understanding the truth. And the time that it surfaces again is at the end. And again, it's Jesus who says it. He's asking the man, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man who is healed says, who is he, sir? Tell me so I may believe. And Jesus says, you have now horaoed him. You have now seen him. You have now, here at the end, grasped and understood who he is. Wow. And that's something the Pharisees were completely unable to do. But this man who was healed, seen by Jesus first, then healed by Jesus, is now able to grasp and understand who Jesus is.
It makes me think of, in preparation for this, I just did a little bit of research and just listened to some reflections on this gospel. And I love Bishop Barron. Don't remember exactly his words, but I was so struck by, he talked about, and we see this in the whole gospel, like the earthiness, the physicality, that things that are talked about between, you know, the mud and the pool and that sort of thing. But Jesus took his saliva and he mixed it with earth to make mud, and how Bishop Barron said the saliva can represent Jesus's divinity and the earth his humanity. Mm. And the two together, he made a salve. A salve. And that word is linked to the word that means health. And we get the word savior, salvation from. So Jesus took his humanity and divinity together, God incarnate, to reveal, to make known who he was. And by in the making known of who he was, he saves us. He brings us to restoration and to health. I mean, just so much of Unbound, I'm thinking about like when we can see and allow God to come in and heal us, we walk away restored. Yeah. So anyway, I'm thinking so much more about how this gospel makes me think about an Unbound ministry session, but I'm not sure I have all the words just yet. Saliva, earth, divinity, humanity coming together.
I love that. I love that incarnation that happens, right? And That's the revelation. That is the core of Christianity, the revelation, God with us, God becoming man. And that's the thing that allows the man to horeo Jesus. Like, he grasps, this isn't just a prophet, right? And when he's giving his testimony in the beginning, right, to the Pharisees, they ask him who he says Jesus is, and he says he's a prophet. Mm-hmm. But when he has this closing, this like finishing encounter with Jesus, so to speak, he gets that full revelation, that understanding that this is more than a prophet. Mm-hmm. This is God before me. And that leads to his response. The next line is, and he worshiped him. Well, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Right?
Yes.
I mean, I could just, this is just so beautiful. It's so powerful. So we have that encounter. We have the revelation of the man God, right, who became. And it's that so in the details, gritty. He's down with us. He's smearing mud on our eyes so we can encounter him. And that's where we meet him. And when we grasp who he is, we hurrah him, then we worship him.
Yeah. And it's not like the man was just left healed.
Right.
Like, sometimes we can come to the Lord and we just want him to fix what's wrong and broken, what hurts, our trauma, our broken relationships, our financial desperation, whatever it is, but we might not go back and know him and worship him and understand him and have relationship with him. And that's like the deeper invitation in this gospel.
Right.
Not just the healing, but to know him.
Right. Right. And that's what the Pharisees missed, right? They just saw with their eyes and they couldn't see what was before them, who was before them.
Yes.
And it's interesting too, because it doesn't say anything about Jesus seeing. Of course, Jesus sees us all, but like, it's not highlighted that Jesus saw the Pharisees. It's Jesus saw this one man. Mm-hmm. And I know we were talking earlier about how important it is to be seen.
Yes.
To be seen, to know that we're seen by the Lord, that we're seen. And that needs to come before healing happens, which links right to Unbound, right? So often when people tell their stories, they're saying things for the first time. And then such an important part of an Unbound session is letting people know they are heard. Yes. They're seen and they're heard. And that's where God is meeting them, because he hurrahs them, right? He grasps their situation.
Yeah. So the question again, going back to the original, our invitation at the beginning, what does this man born blind gospel reveal to us about Jesus? Well, Anne's really touched on that. But what is God revealing to you today? What is the Lord revealing about who he is, God incarnate? Mm-hmm. How is he seeing you? How is he making that known to you? And then what's your response? What's your response? What do you want him to heal? How do you want him to touch you? But what's the worship? What's your worship response? You know, do you want to close in prayer?
Lord Jesus, thank you that you see us, that you see our hearts, you see our situation, You see what is afflicting us, and you just grasp everything about us. Thank you that you see us. Lord, we want to give our lives to you. We want to encounter you. So we invite you in. I ask that each one listening today would invite you in to those places where we may be hurting or blind. And Lord, we ask that you would heal us so that we could see you and encounter you. Lord, we want to grasp who you are a little bit more in this season, Lord. We want to see you and know you. Thank you for your revelation. Thank you that you choose the weak things of the world to show yourself through. Lord, let us know you and let us worship you as you deserve. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Anne. That was awesome. Talk about an invitation. So speaking of invitations, just we are about to have a few more spring events. I want to invite you to our one-day Unbound conference in Cincinnati. If you know anybody in that area, or if you just happen, you know, to be looking for an Unbound conference, it's going to be a great one. Also, Neil and Janet will be in Australia May 5th and 6th. So if you have friends on the other side, down under over there, definitely let them know. You can check us out, both of those events on our website. And then I also want to highlight, we have this great priest retreat we do once a year. And our priest retreat is at the end of May, last week, May 22nd, I believe it starts. And that's also on our website. And I just really feel like asking people to kind of get the word out. Because if you know a priest who'd be blessed by learning about Unbound, receiving Unbound ministry, tell them to check it out or reach out to me at info@heartofthefather, and I'll give you some more information. Thank you so much for joining us. If you were blessed by this podcast and would like to help support our ministry, I'll link a donation link at the bottom of our show notes. We really appreciate all those who have donated and look forward to a special guest with Matt next week.
Thanks so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about taking hold of the freedom you have been given in Christ, check out our website, heartofthefather.com, and find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This is Matt,
Jen,
Rachel,
and Jacqueline saying goodbye until next time.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
If anyone hears my voice and opens the door,
I will come in to him and eat with him.
And he with me. Revelation 3:20.